Right, can we take a look at UFC 282 coming our way this weekend? Obviously, new main event headlined now by Jan Błachowicz taking on Magomed Ankalaev in the for the vacant light heavyweight title. Effectively, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to go through a few fights on this card. There are a lot of good fights on this card. I'm going to pick out a few of them that have piqued my interest, do a bit of background on both the fighters, what they do well, what they don't, possible openings. The research is all there. But then I like to ruin that by making some of the most terrible picks on earth. They're fantastic. They're hilarious, in fact, because I just like to keep the odds long and the stakes low and the bets terrible. So let's start off in the heavyweight division. There's a real nice heavyweight fight taking place. This could headline a fight night fairly easily. Jairzinho Rozenstruik versus Chris Daukaus. Now, let's take a look at the tail of the tape first of all. Are there any glaring kind of differences in the height and in the reach? You've got Rozenstruik is 6'2", 7'8". So Rozenstruik's got a slight reach advantage, very slight. There's really not much in it. They're both kind of the same kind of stature, like physically. But what I would say is that Rozenstruik, he comes in with a heavy kickboxing style, and Daukaus, he's got an excellent boxing. He's also Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt. So Daukaus is probably a little bit faster. I would say that Rozenstruik has probably got a slight edge in the power department. So for me, the problem Daukaus has got here is that he's fighting a guy who's almost, not the opposite, but like the opposite in terms of striking. Rozenstruik is very slow, very deliberate. He picks his shots, and if you allow him to get into a fight, he will really piece you up. He's very patient as well. If you watch how patient he was against Alistair Overeem, I mean, that just goes to show, literally one shot can end it. I thought personally the Overeem fight was called off slightly early, but it did split, you know, Overeem's face basically in half. Like, his lip was like in two pieces. So the referee jumped in, completely understandable. But that was right at the end of the very last round, and it wasn't like Overeem was knocked out. But it just serves as a reminder that there's always danger when it comes to Jairzinho Rozenstruik. I'm a big fan of his, honestly. There's a lot of jeopardy in this fight. Because actually, Daukaus, he's kind of the other way when it comes to striking. He's very, very fast. And that speed makes up for some of the lacking technique, for lack of a better word. Because it's not that he hasn't got technique, it's just that he does certain things that we've seen has resulted in him getting countered. When he rushes in, he tends to leave his head on the centre line. His head doesn't really move off the centre line really that much. So they know that when he throws his punch, they know where his head is going to be. And that got exposed by Derek Lewis, who just has a great fight instinct, honestly. Great. He just knows how to put a fist on that chin. And obviously, we saw that against Curtis Blaydes, who, with respect, Curtis Blaydes is not a natural striker. He is a wrestler with a big right hand, and he was able to catch Daukaus. So Daukaus, defensively, I feel like, hopefully, he's addressed some of those issues, because if he hasn't, he could be in real trouble here, because Jairzinho Rozenstruik, they're both coming off two losses here. Neither of them are in a brilliant position. This could be the last time you see either of these two in the UFC. There's that added pressure. But Blaydes and Volkov, you know, they're both perfectly reasonable losses. Volkov, really, that was a kickboxing match, and Jairzinho, it's very difficult to win a kickboxing match against a 7-foot-tall Russian kind of powerhouse. So Daukaus, his losses were to Lewis and Blaydes. Both big knockout losses. I believe Jairzinho Rozenstruik lost by decision to Curtis Blaydes. Now, for me, the real key, if Daukaus wants to win this fight, and he has actually come out and said he wants to make this an MMA fight, which is good. That's very good. Because I don't feel like he gets the better of a kickboxing match with Jairzinho Rozenstruik. I feel like that would be the path of most resistance. And really what he wants is the path of least resistance. Because Daukaus is a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt, and but we just haven't really seen that much of it. He usually prefers to stand and strike. I feel like the best path to victory is for Daukaus to take this to the ground, or at least threaten the takedown. The only problem here is that Rozenstruik has got a takedown defense of 75%. So 3/4 of the time, he does in fact, defend the takedown. But that doesn't mean that Dawkins shouldn't try it, because you start giving him those looks, it disrupts the striking rhythm of Jairzinho. So, yeah. So for me, I don't know. I think that Dawkins should try and take this to the ground. Do I think it's necessarily going to get there? I'm not sure. Is it going to get there in time? I don't know either. So, okay, this one, look, it can easily go either way. I kind of like Jairzinho Lozenstruyck, so I'm going to pick for, not that I dislike him, I'm going to pick for Dawkins here. I don't, really, this one is a coin toss. I'm going to pick Dawkins just because he's got the speed to rush in there and land, and he has got good power. And we saw against Ngannou, Jairzinho Lozenstruyck kind of got exposed in that regard. He wasn't ready for that rushing attack. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Dawkins go rushing in. And yes, he does leave his head exposed, but he also hits with some savage ferocity. Speed and velocity are killers, especially at heavyweight. There's very little margin for error in the heavyweight division. So I'm going to go with Dawkins by knockout. I think that might happen. Yeah. Really interesting fight. Really interesting fight. I'll roll the dice and Dawkins by knockout, but I'll be perfectly happy to see Jairzinho Lozenstruyck get his hand raised. Yeah, best of luck to both guys. I'm really looking forward to this fight. So, this next fight, you've got Bryce Mitchell against Ilia Topuria. This is quite, yeah, this is going to be an interesting fight in the featherweight division. This one is going over onto my Patreon. So, if you would like to see this breakdown, please head over to the Burt Locker on Patreon now. Thank you. And we move on to Darren Till versus Dodikus Duplessis. This is a really interesting fight. I mean, because obviously it's the return of Darren Till. We haven't seen him in some time. He's been battling quite a lot of injuries. Obviously, we saw him get beaten by Derek Brunson in that tough fight. That was a tough matchup for him. This one, I feel like it's a slightly more favourable matchup for Till, but not completely. Dodikus Duplessis is very, very dangerous. Make no mistake about that. So you've got Darren Till coming in at 18-4-1. You've got Dodikus Duplessis coming in at 17-2. UK versus South Africa. Till's slightly shorter, like 1 inch shorter. The reach in favour of Duplessis as well. So yeah, that could be an issue. Because the thing is, right, Darren Till's very good when he's dictating the range. When he dictates the range, he's really, really fantastic. Because he kind of picks his shots. He's very accurate. And he just puts his combinations together very, very well. But he's not necessarily the... Yeah, this is actually a tougher matchup than I thought. I mean, the thing is, like, these are going to be skewed by the Tavares fight because there was a lot landed in there. But look at how busy Dodikus Duplessis is. 6.55 strikes a minute versus Darren Till's 2.26. And the accuracy is not that much different, honestly. So the problem is Dodikus, he does absorb more strikes. So what that doesn't really, yeah, that doesn't really separate them that much. And in the grappling, Dodikus does tend to shoot slightly more. Dodikus has 100% takedown defense. Although I would say that I wouldn't think that Darren Till is going to be shooting double legs on Dodikus Duplessis. I just don't feel like that is going to be on the cards. So, speaking generally, both of these guys are very, very good. Till is probably slightly better at keeping the distance, picking the high percentage shots, and using his footwork. And all jokes aside with, you know, the Jorge Masvidal knockout and him getting clipped by Woodley, all that aside, Darren Till's defense is actually pretty good. Like you saw against Robert Whittaker. Like, if you can stand toe-to-toe with Robert Whittaker for that amount of time, I'm sorry, but your defense in striking must be very, very good. He's very high level. He's been training very hard for this fight. I've seen all of, like, the kind of... I'm sure, you know, Duplessis is as well. Like, it's a no-brainer that every fighter is training hard for these fights. But Duplessis' defense is not as good as Darren Till's, not from what I've seen, right? Especially when you saw in that Brad Tavares fight, that was a war, right? It was a war that went back and forth, and Duplessis ate a lot of shots because his defense didn't allow him to slip, move out of the way. He just threw back with a vengeance. That's the problem here, isn't it? Because Du Plessis is tough as old boots. And we saw him in that battle with Tavares. That one fight, it showed us so much about Dricus Du Plessis. Number one, his defense can be exposed. But number two, even if you expose his defense, you're going to have some power to be able to put him away. Because that guy will bite down on the mouthpiece and he will just throw back at you. Does Darren Till have the power at middleweight to stop Dricus Du Plessis? I'm not sure that he does. I feel like he had great power at welterweight. At middleweight, we just haven't seen that power transfer. And the problem we've got here is Dricus Du Plessis. He has a lot of power. And because he's got a few knockouts on his record, but it's just, you saw him, you know, you just saw the power. Like, because he knocked out Tevin Giles, Marcus Perez in his first two fights. And again, you know, Brad Tavares is tough in his own right. But for me, Darren Till, he's very good at picking strikes and outpointing people. But Du Plessis is very good at making these fights nasty, ugly and nasty. So basically, to boil down, Till's going to have to be perfect for three rounds here. And you know what? He could be perfect for three rounds here. Because Darren Till is more than capable of being perfect for three rounds. He really is. He's very high level. Du Plessis, what he lacks in footwork and defense, he more than makes up for with raw horsepower and just his aggressive style. So whilst I think that Till can be perfect for three rounds, I just feel like that jeopardy of Du Plessis is always there. Du Plessis is just not under any pressure. The other thing you've got to take into account is there's a lot of pressure on Darren Till now. How many losses has he had in a row? I'm going to have a look. Because obviously, Dricus is coming off a win, off that win over Brad Tavares. But not only have we not seen Darren Till in quite a while, but he's coming off two losses to Robert Whittaker and Derek Brunson. They got that win over Gastelum, but before then, there's losses to Tyron Woodley and Jorge Masvidal. That's losses in four out of his last five fights. If he loses this one, that's three in a row. I'm not sure. Like, I don't know. I don't want to wish, because obviously I hope that doesn't happen. I hope he doesn't have to kind of cross that bridge, but he might. Because after that, he's kind of like, I've seen the UFC cut people for less. That must be playing into the mind of Darren Till, because a lot of fighting is a mental game as well. You've got to remember that. And so, yeah, for me, Du Plessis is under no pressure. He's going to go out there. He's just going to be physical and aggressive. He's probably going to be having some fun. He's probably going to make this fight ugly. I am going to take Dricus Du Plessis to get the finish. I think he gets the TKO or the knockout. I hope I'm wrong. I really, really do hope I'm wrong. I'm not saying that Darren Till can't be perfect for three rounds. I'm sure that he can. But I don't know. Dricus Du Plessis, he's pretty special in his own right. So for me, because I will be pulling for Darren Till, not by much, because I'm a big fan of Du Plessis as well, I will be putting my money on Dricus Du Plessis to get the finish by knockout or TKO. And yeah, but I'm interested. It's an interesting fight. Very interesting fight. Paddy Pimblett versus Jared Gordon is another interesting fight taking place in the 155-pound weight class. So you've got Pimblett. He's got quite a height and reach advantage. Well, he's got 1 inch of height, but he's got like a 5-inch reach advantage over Jared Gordon. I think that's going to be significant here, actually. So you've got Paddy Pimblett coming in at 19-3, Gordon coming in at 19-5. So both of these guys, they do it. Like, you've got Paddy Pimblett, he's a black belt under Paul Rimmer, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. We know how good Paddy's grappling is. Generally speaking, he's very good at rushing. He knows what he's going for before he goes for it. And he'll create some chaos. He'll get the body lock, do a beautiful judo throw, and then he's already getting in the position. It's that positional awareness that allows him to get the amount of submissions that he does. And it's really, really good. It's great to watch. Really, really good. Gordon is a brown belt under John Danaher. We all know who John Danaher is, right? So, you know, a brown belt under John Danaher, that's nothing to be sniffed at. He's obviously a very high-level practitioner himself. But my question would be, is he as high level as Paddy Pimblett? Maybe not. He really might not be here. Now, that's not to underestimate him. Obviously, MMA jiu-jitsu can be very different because obviously a lot of it goes out the window when you've been hit a few times. Paddy's stature should probably help him on the feet though, because he's quite tall. He fights long very well. And the thing that I like about Paddy and his striking is, yeah, right, it looks like he's got, like, you know, bad defense, everything like that. He's leaving his chin exposed. And yeah, he does. And he's got a great chin, and that's why he can do that. But he also, once he knows he's got his opponent slightly hurt, he kind of starts flowing. And it's very difficult to predict where the next strike is coming from, because I'm not sure he even really knows. But he knows his striking style so well that he doesn't have to know where his next strike is going. It's very difficult to block an attack where and try and predict where your opponent is going to go when they don't know where they're going to go. And that's when he creates those, like, chaotic moments where he'll grab the body lock and he'll do those judo throws, and they really are fantastic. I could see that happening in this one. Honestly, I give Paddy Pimblett a slight edge in every area in this fight. I think that he's, on the feet, he's slightly more dangerous. Yes, there is a chance that he leaves his chin out there, and yes, there is a chance that Jared Gordon clips it. I'm not saying that that's not a possibility. It's a distinct possibility. It always is. When you've got Paddy Pimblett in there, obviously he does leave his chin exposed. That is a thing. But also, he does throw out these wonderful flying knees. He's quite long. He uses that range well. He uses, like, the teep kicks, and he uses the leg kicks to measure that distance. And when he's comfortable in that distance, that's when Paddy will throw those punches. And that's when he'll sting you, and that's when he gets you to the ground. And I think when he gets him on the ground, I think actually we're going to find out there's levels to you know, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, as we all know. And I think I can see Paddy getting the submission here. I really can. I mean, maybe I'm blinded by, like, the hype or whatever. I'm not saying that Jared Gordon is the best fighter that Paddy Pimblett has fought so far, I would say. I'd say that, you know, with the greatest respect to his previous opposition. But I still don't know if Jared Gordon is going to be good enough to stop the relentless kind of throws and ground attacks that Paddy Pimblett brings to the octagon. I'm going to take Paddy Pimblett by submission. And then we move on to the main event of the evening. You've got Jan Blachowicz versus Magomed Ankalaev. So, tail of the tape on this one. Obviously, we saw Jiří Procházka. He's got a shoulder problem, so he's relinquished the title, and they're doing this one instead. Jan Blachowicz coming in at 29-9. Ankalaev coming in at 18-1. That one, obviously, being that submission loss to Paul Craig, where he got submitted with, like, 1 second left in the round. That's quite significant, actually, when you look at how long was left, because he could have held on, I think. Like, I don't know why he tapped when he did. But anyway, Taylor tape here. You've got Jan Blachowicz, who's slightly shorter, but he's actually got the reach advantage. You've got about 3 inches in reach. And that is key here, because the problems that Jan Blachowicz presents are his range. Basically, when you're looking at this fight, right, it's easy to say, conventional wisdom, it's easy to say that Ankalaev is going to blast through Jan Blachowicz, just because Jan Blachowicz is quite old at this point. I say quite old. He's, 39? I don't know how old he is. He's approaching that age anyway. And Ankalaev, obviously, he's very dangerous. He's being called the dark horse of the division. But to be honest, like I said, I thought he struggled against Thiago Santos, and I think that Jan Blachowicz, with respect, beats Thiago Santos most times. I think Jan Blachowicz probably puts Thiago Santos away. Even though I'm fairly sure that this is light heavyweight Jan, but yeah, because I'm fairly sure that Jan Blachowicz does in fact have a loss to Thiago Santos. So I might be completely talking out of my ass here. Yeah, he does. Yeah, he got knocked out. That was at middleweight, though. That was at middleweight, I think. Anyway, but for me, I don't know. The 2021 Jan Blachowicz versus Thiago Santos, I feel like that goes very, very differently. I really do. I feel like Jan Blachowicz really came into his own, kind of started working out what he does well. And but to be fair, like I said, Ankalaev, he's really, really dangerous, but there are certain aspects to his game that have been exposed. He can sometimes get drawn into the chaos. Ian Kutalaba, like, drew him into the chaos, even if it was very, very briefly, and obviously it still didn't go Ion's way. And, you know, Paul Craig, he got him in that submission, and he tapped very, very quickly. I don't know, because it... But he had no time left on the clock. He could have toughed that out. I'm sure his coaches were probably pissed after that, honestly. But, yeah. For me, yes, okay. He's just very dangerous, you know, especially on the feet. He's got great ground and pound. I don't really know how good his wrestling is because he doesn't tend to wrestle that much. But then you've got Jan Błachowicz on the other side who has the championship experience. He's been five rounds quite a lot in his career. And Ankalaev, I believe this is his first five-rounder. I'm not 100% sure on that. But Jan has a general size and power advantage. Don't sleep on that Polish power, man. Like, there is a reason he won that belt, and it's because he can throw hands with the best of them. I'd also say that left body kick for Jan Błachowicz is something that could really disrupt the movement of Ankalaev, because actually, you know, when Ankalaev's moving into range, you could see that left body kick coming. And Jan will be free to throw that because I don't think he's got too much to worry about really in the wrestling department here. Because generally speaking, it's not like, you know, you're seeing Magomed Ankalaev just constantly shooting takedowns and trying to out-wrestle people. He doesn't really. On average, he only shoots one takedown a fight. You know, his takedown accuracy is only 33%. I don't think that Jan Błachowicz has too much to worry about when it comes to the wrestling. So I think actually this is going to play out on the feet. And I think there are far more dangers here for Ankalaev than people are given credit. Because Jan Błachowicz has got just such a lovely straight right hand. He throws straight punches really, really well. The reason that Ankalaev was able to just like dust Ion Kutalaba in their rematch so easily was because Ion Kutalaba just swings wild round the side looking for that big haymaker. Jan Błachowicz doesn't do that. His power comes down the middle, and it's really, really powerful stuff as well. So for me, you couple that with the left body kick that actually covers a lot of range. It negates Ankalaev wanting to stay in kickboxing range, because Ankalaev is probably going to want to stay in kicking range. He's going to want to kick the legs. He's going to want to kick the body, because we've seen him do that. You know, he will kick people and strike with them and exhaust them until they are ready to kind of keel over, and then he'll hit them with something big. You saw him do that with Jugumbala, the massive African dude, the middleweight. Anyway, like he hit him with a front kick, but Jugumbala, I can't remember what it is. Lugumbala, I think it is. Anyway, Lugumbala, just, he was already exhausted. He's not built to go five rounds, but for me, Jan Błachowicz is. Jan Błachowicz isn't going to get that tired, I don't think. And we saw him lose against Glover Teixeira because Glover just took him down and just got that rear naked choke real, real quick. I don't think he's got that much to worry about with the wrestling, as I said. So, because Magomed Ankalaev, he's not like one of these like Dagestan like wrestling, you know, purists. He doesn't shoot a lot of takedowns. He has zero submissions on his record. I think this stays standing, and I think that Jan could lure Magomed Ankalaev into a firefight here. And if he lures him into a firefight, I think that's a firefight that Jan Błachowicz can win. It's probably my heart rule in my head here, but I'm taking Jan Błachowicz by knockout. That's what I'm going for. Terrible decision, I know. Look, I know full well how good Magomed Ankalaev is, but I don't know. I'm just rolling the dice on Polish power. One more time. Polish power to get that knockout. He lifts that belt again, and he doesn't even have to fight Glover for it. He'll probably fight him. That'll be the next fight afterwards. But anyway, I'm really looking forward to these fights. I'll be putting up a post with my bets. It's the_Bert_Green on Instagram. That's where I'll usually post it. I'll get the, you know, the actual accumulator up there. Let me know in the comments, who are you betting on? I always love seeing people's bets coming off and going. Mine usually go very, very wrong, but that's some of the fun that I find in it. So, yeah. Anyways, I'll be wrapping these up next week. So, until then, keep those odds long and those bets terrible.